2021, and some of us didn't think we'd make it. Easter 2021, and it is impossible to overstate the significance of Easter. Easter is the foundation of the faith, the Bible says. Paul will say, if Christ isn't risen, then your faith is in vain. It is the risen Savior that validates the Savior who was also a God-man. It was the risen Savior that verified that He was God. It was the resurrection that verified that Jesus had been telling the truth, because 13 times Jesus said in one way or another in His teaching that He would rise again. And so the resurrection validated His self-prophecy. It also validated the power of God, because here all the powers of hell conspired with the greatest empire the world had seen to that date, the Roman Empire. The Jewish leaders were involved. They all conspired to hang Him on a cross and put Him in a tomb. But on the third day, He rose again, and He demonstrated that He had power over all earthly powers and all demonic powers. And He validated that in the end, when He made up His mind to do something, when Jesus makes up His mind, something is going to happen, it's going to happen. He resurrected Himself from the dead. Paul is captured by these thoughts, and let me read to you what the apostle says. In chapter 1, and I want to zone in here on resurrection power. I want to talk about the power that raised Him, but I want to talk about the power that's alive in the world today. Paul surfaces that subject. Verse 15, he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, did not stop you, thinking of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now let me just stop there. Paul says, I hope you get what I'm about to say. He says, I hope you have understanding. I hope you have wisdom. I hope that your eyes are open, because I'm about to tell you something big. He said here, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He says, I hope you realize, if you're in Christ, how really rich you are. But then he says, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, again, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The Apostle Paul is having a Donald Trump moment in verse 19. He's piling adjective upon adjective. He's saying here, he says, what is the exceeding? Exceeding in the Greek is hooper, from which we get the word super. He says, what is the exceeding or the super greatness? Greatness is megathos, by which we get the word mega, the exceeding or the super mega greatness of His power. Power is dynamo. So he's saying what Jesus Christ did on the cross was super. It was mega. It was dynamite. It was dynamic. It was power released into the world. Now, I could talk about this forever, but I'm not. I want to give you a few things that are released in the world, the power of God being demonstrated. We have sort of a risen Savior again. He has risen in power. From the resurrection was released power into the world. And I want to show you how evident that is. One of the ways, first of all, point one, One of the ways we know that power has been released into the world is that, verse 19, we have the power to believe on Jesus Christ. He says this power, verse 19 again, the power is released toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. He says it's the power of God that has worked so that you and I come to believe on Jesus Christ. There's power released in the world today. You wouldn't have come to believe on Jesus Christ if you believe that He lived, if you believe that He rose again. That's because there's resurrection power that's been whispering in your ear, the Bible says. Listen, it's amazing that in this world that has done everything to discredit Jesus Christ, some people still believe in Him. Everything has been done. Scientists have tried to discredit Him. He gets no credit in the news. Everyone's a skeptic about Jesus, it seems. So if you are here today and you believe that He is risen, that He is a present reality today, you didn't get that from anyone but Him. When Jesus is speaking to Peter, Peter says, "You are the Lord, the Christ." And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "You didn't get that from flesh and blood. God gave that to you, Peter. You didn't find that on your own. You found that because there was a living God who spoke that into your ear." And if you believe today, if you believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He was, you may not have surrendered to Him yet, but God is at work in your life because you didn't get that from any place but the resurrection power whispering to you. You might go farther and say, if you believe that you have sinned, you didn't get that from anyone but Jesus. He's alive today. His Spirit is at work in the world. If you have ever come to the place where you say, there's something deeply wrong with me, you didn't get that from psychology. You're okay, I'm okay in psychology. You didn't get that from the culture. In our culture, you have your truth, I have my truth. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. The only crime is not being tolerant to what's going on in your life. If you have come to the place where you say, there's something deeply broken inside of me, I need the forgiveness of God, there's something wrong with me, I want to tell you, that's resurrection power whispering in your ear today, because you didn't get that from yourself. It didn't come from you. You say, well, that came from my conscience. No, that doesn't come from your conscience. Listen to me. By the time you're in your late teens, your conscience is so broken, it doesn't even work anymore. Your conscience is like the fire alarm or the fire alarm that wouldn't stop beeping when you tried to cook, so you climbed the ladder and took the battery out. That's your conscience by the time you get to 17 or 18 years old. It's non-functioning. I've told people this a couple times, but it was the aha moment of my life, and many of you will recognize this. I didn't understand how broken my conscience was till I was watching a movie one night, and my wife had gone to bed, and I had been studying, and I was writing a sermon. This many years ago, and I decided to watch this movie. It's 10, 11 o'clock at night. I pull my chair up so the big screen sort of feels like a movie theater, and I find out what's on, and it's an old Clark Gable movie. And he's married to Ann Baxter, and he's a surgeon. The war breaks out. This is World War II, and he's crying to his wife. He's telling her how much he loves her, but he's being drafted because he has to go do surgery overseas. And he's telling her how awful this is and how he doesn't want to be separated from her. And so he gets shipped overseas, and he gets assigned Lana Turner, his nurse. And for 3 years, he and Lana are together. And then the hospital gets bombed that they're working in, and Lana's bit the dust. There she is. She sprawled out. They got the lighting on her. She's just amazing how well done she is when she's about to kick the bucket. Her hair's dry. Her makeup is perfect. And Clark is begging her to live. And I got an hour and 45 minutes invested in it at this point. And the blanket has been thrown in the floor, and I'm begging her. Live. I'm taking this personally. You got to live. Look, Clark, Look at the tears, Lana. Live for Clark. And the movie ended, and he had to go home to his wife, and the last few scenes are him moping around the house. And I got up the next day, and I was depressed from how that movie ended. Now, I'm a pastor. I was studying for a sermon before I turned the movie on. And my wife said, I heard you up early or late last night. I said, yep. And she said, what were you doing? I said, I was watching an old Clark Gable movie. And she said, how did it turn out? And for the first time, I processed how it turned out and why it was so sad. And I said, well, it's a bad movie, bad ending, because the war ended and he had to go home to his wife. Think about that. I'm a pastor. My conscience is so messed up that if you get the lighting right on Lana Turner, I am rooting for Clark Gable to leave his wife and run off with the nurse. I was watching a movie a few months after that, and it drove it home. It's called I Walk the Line. Another aha moment about how broken I am internally. Johnny Cash, June Carter, it's about their romance. But really, if you want to sum up the movie, it's about a singer who has a drug addiction, who's snorting cocaine, and ends up leaving his wife and four kids and marrying his backup singer. That's what the movie's about. But man, by the time I'm at the end of the movie, it's like, leave the wife and four kids. Reese Witherspoon is where your future's at. I mean, and I'm a preacher. I don't believe a guy should run off and leave his four kids and his wife. I don't believe that you should do that. But if the lighting and music is right, I'll root for it. That's how broken my conscience is. Jiminy Cricket was an idiot. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Let your conscience be your God. Your conscience is nothing. It's nothing. And so, if you ever come to the place where you say, something is wrong with me, there's a deep brokenness in me. If you ever come to the place where you say, I have really hurt people, and it's my doing. If you ever come to the place where you say, the words I spoke were like daggers, and I did damage with my words. If you ever come to the place where you say, listen, if I don't forgive those people, I'm as bad as they are. I have got to forgive. I have got to let this thing go. If you ever come to the place where you say, I should have never posted the bikini picture on Instagram, I'm a grandfather. If you ever come to a place where you say, I was wrong, that was awful what I did, that's God speaking to you. That's not from your conscience, because your conscience is broken and busted. Evidence there's a God loose in the world. And so here again, resurrection power being released so that we would believe, so that we would be convicted. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ that convicts sin. Secondly, or thirdly, was that one or 2 points? Is that 2 points? Second or third. Resurrection power is demonstrated not just in the conviction of sin, but in the giving of hope. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you got hope today, it came from Jesus Christ. When you look at the world, why would you have hope? Why would you be optimistic about anything looking at the world? Listen, if your life is in a terrible place, or you're in a bad spot, and you would admit that you're in a bad spot, why would you ever have hope that you get out of that? Well, how many people do you know who flipped the script on their life? How many people do you know who start out losers, end up winners? How many people do you know who start out victims, end up victorious? There's not a lot of evidence the script can be flipped in life when you look at the world. So if you're in a place, but you look at yourself and say, you know what? I believe God can get me out of this. I believe that I'm not going to be a victim my whole life. I believe I can finish the victor. I believe that I can change the script in my family. I believe that what my parents were is not what I'm destined to be. I believe that things are going to change in my life, that there's going to be power in my life, that I'm going to be the kind of husband and father, the kind of mother that I never had. Listen, the only place you're getting that kind of hope is from a resurrected Savior. That's where that's coming from. But thirdly, not only is resurrection power unleashed in the world to bring us to the place where we believe, where we understand that we've sinned, but also where we have incredible amounts of hope that things can be different for us. But resurrection power is also released into the world, bringing about radical change in the lives of people who are willing to surrender their lives to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Leave that verse up just for a minute, Bill. Takes three chapters, really, the three preceding chapters. The apostle is saying there's a life that leads to death, but there's a death to Christ that welcomes the resurrection power of Christ into your life, the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, which will give life. There's a life that leads to death, and many of us are familiar with that. You know, when you're 17 years old, all of the things that feel like life tend to be things that the Bible says you shouldn't do. And so when you're 17, the things that feel like life are the weekends, it's the partying, it's the casual relationships, maybe it's the drugs, it's the things your parents don't want you to do. It's the immaturity, but it feels like life. And you can catch yourself there when you're 17, 18, and you're out having a great time on Friday night, and maybe you're at the club, and maybe there's lots of people there. Can you get into a club when you're 18? I don't know. But you're there, you're living the life, and you say to yourself, man, this is the life. All those people home watching Jeopardy tonight, this is the life. It's life. But if you're still doing that when you're 37, it feels like death. If you're 37 and you're still drinking and you're still having casual relationships and you're still doing the drugs and you're still living the immature life, you've thought about killing yourself. You have. It felt like life when you were 17, but at 37, it's absolute death to you. Life working death. If you get married in your 20s, there's a way in which the cycle of fighting and then making up feels like life and passion. You know, you get into that relationship and she spends too much money, and you ball her out, and then you know, it ends up Lucy and Desi. Lucy, you spend too much money, and maybe it goes in Ralph and Alice to the moon, baby. But it all ends up with you're the best, and isn't the making up fun, you know? But you fight. Maybe you say words you shouldn't say. There's sort of a cat fight, and then at some point, you know, you're in a embrace, and you're doing a Clark Gable, Lana Turner scene, you know. It feels like life. You wonder about all those boring people married again watching Jeopardy. And but if you're doing that when you're in your 40s, it feels like death. It's not funny anymore to keep fighting and making up. Because what happens 20 years later, you're fighting, but you're not making up anymore. That immaturity, that disrespect to each other, that marriage that is so far from the way God designed it, although it feels passionate, by the time you're in your 40s, you're fighting, you're yelling, you're screaming, and somebody's sleeping on the couch. What felt like life ends up feeling like death. It's a life that ends up in the death. The Bible says there's a death that leads to life. There's a surrender to Jesus Christ that fully unleashes resurrection power into your life. It feels like a death, but it leads to abundant life. It's the opposite of what we've been talking about, but it's the way to life. I was the most miserable convert probably in town that day. And I've shared this with you. I won't go into it. But when I knelt my knees when I was 17 years old to give my life to Christ, it felt like I was surrendering to be Ned Flanders for life. Some of you know what that means. I'm glad most of you don't. It means you're holier. I felt like I was surrendering to a terrible life. I had wrestled with God. I didn't want to live that life. I wanted to live the life that my brother had lived before me, which was a kind of life I just described to you. But I couldn't get this cloud over me, and I thought the only way to get the cloud off of me is to finally surrender my life to Jesus Christ. It felt like a death, but it changed my life. Everything good I have now came from that surrender. Came from that surrender. It was the turning point in my life. I sleep well now. I should work out. I'd feel better if I worked out. I'm starting to get stiff. I'm starting to feel like a middle-aged person. But other than that, I have a good life. And it came from dying that day. I thought doing what I'm doing right now would be the worst possible thing in the world. I actually enjoy what I'm doing now on an average Sunday. Not every Sunday, but on an average Sunday. Enjoy it. There is a life that leads to death, that by the verse said, but there is a surrender that unleashes fully resurrection power into your life that brings life. Listen to me. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is a living reality. Again, the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead comes into the world, convincing you of who He is, convincing you that you need a Savior, giving you hope that things can be different. And if you open the door fully to Him, the resurrection power will come into your life and radically transform you. Behold, all things have become new, the Bible says, when you open the door fully and completely to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen to me. All I'm trying to say is this. Easter is a time for new beginnings. Easter is a time for fresh starts. Easter ought to be a time when you embrace the power of God into your life that began at the resurrection in its full capacity. I love the verse in Amos, and I think it's my favorite, where God says to them, He says, although you're the lamb that's been eaten by the lion, and all the lion has left is an ear and a leg, I'll take the ear and the leg, and I will resurrect you, and I'll make you whole. You may be down to an ear and a leg in life, but the power of Jesus Christ can come into your life. He can resurrect you. He can resurrect the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave can come into your life, depressed, cast down, beaten, tormented, and can resurrect you. It's alive. It's a present reality in the world. You may say, my heart's broken. My heart is shattered. Jesus Christ is alive today. There is a power alive today who can mend your heart. He's near the broken and the contrite, the Bible says. He can do it. You say there's an addiction. I can't stop. There is a power greater than an addiction in this world. Believe that. You may say, I'm overcome with worry. All I do is worry. All I do is fear. There is a power that can cast out fear, the Bible says. You say, listen, I've never been loved in life. Gotta worry. I feel like I've been cast aside. Nobody has ever really loved me in life. The people who have said they love me, it turned out to be false. There is one that loves you that can fill your heart with love. There is love that comes from the cross and can be driven into your spirit with resurrection power that can make you feel like the loved person you are. Jesus Christ cares about you, and He can make you feel that. Listen to me. Jesus Christ can put hope in you. He can. When you are hopeless, Jesus Christ can come into your life and say the script can be flipped for you. You don't have to be a victim your whole life. I have made you victorious. And I'm going to put power into your life where you know that you are bound for glory. Listen to me. If He rose from the dead, He's alive today. And because He's living, there is power unleashed in the world. Again, the same power that raised Him from the dead can come into your life. Some of you here today, and it's been a tough year. I mean, it really has. You've lost someone that you said before that you lost them, I don't know how I could ever live without them. It's time for a fresh start. It's time for a fresh start. Some of you have had a difficult year. This has been a great year for Satan to tempt people. It has been a tempting year as we have been ostracized from each other and as we have been pinned down, oftentimes with nothing but our media. It's not been an easy time to live as God wants us to live. Some of you feel like a failure today. Because you have not been the person you know you have ought to have been. There's power to forgive you. There's power to cleanse you. Why don't you start fresh today? You start fresh today. Why don't you tell Jesus, listen, I want to put the past year behind me. I want to put the past 10 years behind me. I want a fresh start today. Fill me with your power today. Some of you today, you feel lost, and I don't know why you're here, because you don't believe Jesus Christ can do anything in your life, but there's a drawing power that brought you here. That's all that I can explain it. You're sitting here and you're saying, well, why did I do this? I believe God brought you here, but He didn't just bring you here to hear a sermon. He brought you here to put power and resurrection power into your life. He did that for you. Will you stand with me?